Grab your copy of God's Word, if you will, and go with me to the First John, the epistle. First John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Today, as we think about the gift that God has given us in each other. If you think about, guys, that precious thing, for those of you who are married, think about that moment in that service when those doors flew wide open and you saw your bride standing in all her glory, fresh and clean and white and all the things with that, and you were amazed and you were enthralled and you were so glad that she had said yes to you. She was precious to you. And this, to this day, if you have a healthy marriage, a marriage that pleases God, she is still precious to you. But I want you to understand one thing this morning, that the Bible equates us to that bride of Christ. Think about the level on which God places the church in His esteem. He loves the church. He longs for the church. He purifies the church. He died for the church, didn't He? That's what Ephesians 5 tells us. Ephesians 5 clearly says that Christ died for His bride. And on that same level, think about this. As God esteems the church, we should as well, as God has made promises to us, we so should also make promises to one another. That's what our church covenant is all about as we celebrate it together here this morning. I pray that when you think about church membership, I don't know what you think about. I'm not in your head. I've only been here for 5 years. I don't know what's in your head. I don't know what's in your past. I don't know what you've been thinking. But I pray that membership would be glorious to you, that it would be meaningful to you, that it would be more than just going where my biological family goes, but that would actually, in your mind, you would picture the spiritual family of God, and you would be excited about that. 1 John chapter 3 is a great passage as we think this morning on covenant membership. 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 18. I want to read that whole passage this morning. I'm not going to speak long, Lord willing, because we've got three others who are going to testify this morning. But I want to read this morning. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says this. It says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, we now are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. For what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we pass out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. has no eternal life abiding in Him. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Church, this is the Word of God to us today. And it tells us about six things. There's a ton there that we could go into, and there are some things that I would love to preach on that I'm not going to preach on this morning because I want to be succinct and direct in tying this into covenant membership. But I see six things in here that this points out to us this morning as we think about the point of this passage. Right? Covenant membership means that, and we'll look at six different things here. First, it means that we are spiritual brothers and sisters. Spiritual brothers and sisters. We are part of a family. The Bible says, for those of us who are younger, to look up to those who are older as mothers and fathers in the faith. You know, one of the things that I often do when I go by and visit with Miss Willette, who's one of our shut-ins, when I begin to pray, I always thank the Lord for a mother in the faith like her. Now see, I'm not kin to her, right? My family's from Kentucky. I'm a transplant. I'm down here. But through the blood of Jesus, we are brothers and sisters. Think about that bond. Think about that bond, how we've been united, how we're to care for one another. You think about all the things that it means to be a brother to your brother or a sister to your brother or sister. Think about what all that means. We are to be that for one another. And it also means that there is a bond there that is not just so easily dissolved, right? It's not so easily dissolved. Think about this for a moment. When does your brother, your biological brother, when does Matt Simpson, my brother, stop being my brother? Never. Never, right? Never. But even more so, when will the person across from you who is your brother and sister in Christ, when will they stop being your brother or sister? Again, never. Forevermore, they're in the kingdom of God with you. They are a family. They are a family. And we come together as a family, as a brother and sister to one another. You particularly see that in verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'm not going to read it again. But you see that right there, particularly where it says that that God bestowed a great love on us. Verse 1, that we would be called children of God. We are children of God. The second thing that we see out of this that covenant membership means is that we're to work to love one another. And I've got to put that word work in there, right? I didn't just say that we should love one another. I said we got to work to love one another. If there's one thing I know is that there's oftentimes you have to work to love me because I'm a mess up, right? I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I don't always say what I'm supposed to say. I don't always go where I'm supposed to go. And so I need grace. I need love. I need all those things. And you got to work to love me. I got to work to love you. And that's true for every one of us. Every one of us. We've got to work to love one another. If there's one thing true, it's that God is love, and we are to imitate Him, right? We are to imitate Him. But so often, think about your own heart. You tend to gravitate toward those who are easy for you to love, don't you? Be honest. You gravitate toward those who are easier for you to love. Or maybe you're the type of person that loves easily until someone messes you over, and then it's really hard to love them again. God says, work at loving one another in the church. Oftentimes, one of the reasons why we have trouble loving other people is because we don't have a clear vision of who we are as sinners ourselves. You know, Paul said that he is the chief of sinners. That's what Paul said. But you know what? I think we should have that same attitude as well. In fact, I heard a message just yesterday. If you want to have joy in your home, every day you should argue with the people in your home that I am the chief of sinners. In other words, every day we should wake up knowing that we are the lowest of low and we deserve nothing. And that we should be patient because we need them to be patient with us. Same thing, guys. If we want to have joy in this church, every one of us needs to come every time we gather together, in and out, and when we talk on the phone, and when we do baseball together, and when we do yard sales together and all that stuff. Every one of us needs to come understanding that you with your finger pointing to yourself, I am the chief of sinners. That will help you love others. That will help you be gracious to others. That will help you be merciful to others. And you particularly see that in verses 4 through 11. Again, I'm not going to read all of that, but again, notice right there in verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. And here's the important part. Nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you've heard from the beginning, that we should what, church? Love one another. Not as Cain loved, who slew his brother. We're to love one another. The third thing that we see here when we think about covenant membership this morning. Guys, and it's glorious. It's glorious. It's number three is that we strive to keep one another from sin. We strive to keep one another from sin. Notice all the way down through there. In verses 4 through 11 again is where you really see this mark here of covenant membership. That we are to love one another. And then on top of that, we're to keep one another from sin. You see time and time again where he's talking about righteousness and sinfulness and those who practice sin and those who practice lawlessness. Now he says some things in there that are kind of confusing at first glance. He says, verse 6, no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Now you're thinking, whoa, wait a minute. I think I've already sinned today and I think I know him. Well, again, notice what he's saying there. He's talking about practicing sin, right? That your habit has been sinful. I pray that none of you here are habituated in sin, but that you're living in righteousness and you're striving. Yes, you're going to sin, but you're not going to live in sin. You're not going to abide in sin. You're not going to glory in sin. And one of the ways that that's going to happen is that you got brothers and sisters fighting for you, striving to keep one another from sin. You see, let's be honest. There's no such thing as a private sin. There's not. There is no such thing as a private sin, even if no one else knows it. Everyone else is going to be affected by it, spiritually speaking, right? Because we're a body, right? We're a body. I've told you about my old knee here. My old knee just ain't what it used to be, right? It's missing some cartilage. It's got a meniscus tear and all those things. It ain't what it's been, right? It's kind of broken down. It's not what it was. It's not to the fullness of what God made it to be. And guess what? I feel it. My whole body suffers for it. Sometimes my left leg hurts because my right leg ain't right, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all been there? The same thing begins to happen in the body of Christ. There's no such thing as private sin. There's not. Because even that, it affects everyone in the body of Christ. Because we depend on one another. That's why we've got to be vigilant for one another. Not just for our own good, but because we love someone. If we see someone in sin, we must lovingly approach them. We must lovingly help them to come out of it. That's what covenant membership is about. Now, again, we're not supposed to be holier than thou. We're not supposed to be looking for opportunities to confront people. But when there is a person struggling, we come alongside them, as Galatians 6 says, and we bear their burden with them. We don't chastise them and say, get up and do right. We say, come here. And let me help you do right. That's what covenant membership is about. The fourth thing that we see here in this text, number four, is that we encourage one another in tough times. We encourage one another in tough times. Look at verse 13 through 15, and you'll notice that there. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. There's going to be times when it seems like everything is stacked against you, when you cannot bear it on your own. But bless God, He's given you a people to bear it up and to carry it with you and to encourage you along. That's why the Bible says, at least one of the reasons why the Bible says, let no uncorrupting speech come out of your mouth. Because we're here to build people up and not to tear them down. You never know what the words you say are going to do. You got to be careful with our words. We must build one another up, encourage one another in tough times. Think about this right now. Think about in your life when something tough has happened and the church has come alongside you and has blessed you, carried you through, encouraged you. Maybe it was a word. Maybe it was a financial gift. Maybe it was a sack of groceries. Maybe it was watching your children. Maybe it was taking you to the doctor. Whatever it was, maybe it was just simply praying for you. That's what covenant membership is all about. In those tough times, we encourage one another. But not only that, number five, particularly we see this in verse 16, we sacrifice for one another. We sacrifice for one another. Look at verse 16. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the whom? The brethren. The brethren. The brethren is not the world. We should be kind to everyone, but we should lay down our lives, the Bible says, for the brethren, our brothers and sisters, the family of God. Guys, listen to me. That's radical. Is that church in America today? Is that church in Alexandria today? Is that church at West Main Baptist today? Are you willing to put yourself at a loss that your brother or sister may be helped? I pray that you would. That's what covenant membership is all about, that we sacrifice. And I'm not saying that you give your life, although it could come to that, I suppose. But that you're willing. You're willing to take on a burden for someone else. And then finally, number six, we see here in this text, covenant membership means that we simply share our stuff with one another. We share our stuff with one another. Look at verse 17 and 18. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We have been given what we've been given by God. I fully believe that. God is sovereign, and He has put in your hands what He's put in your hands, not that you would clench and hold on to it, but that you would take what He's given you and bless others. And one of the first places that He's given us to bless others is through the church family. Oh, church, I pray this morning that you would love to share your stuff with other people, that you would be generous, whether it's the tractor. Brother Tony loves to tell me stories about his neighbor, and he shares a lot of stuff with his neighbor, and it doesn't always come back the way you lend it, does it, Brother Tony? Unfortunately not. That's going to happen. God has called us to be generous with one another. That's what it means to be in the family. If your brother were to call you up and say, hey, I need this. I'm talking about your biological brother, your biological sister. If they were to call you up and say, hey, I need this, you would break your neck. I know you would, to make it happen for them. And I pray that you would as well for your church family, that we would come together and share what God has given us. You know, there's sort of a famine in the land in a sense when it comes to understanding what membership is about in churches. So many churches just think that it's just sort of like joining a club. It's not. You join a club to get something. That's not what this is about. You're certainly going to get something. But you join a church to be a part of the body of Christ, that you might bless someone else. That you might be a blessing to someone who is your brother and sister, that you commit to love them. I've been here for 5 years, and you know every time that someone joins the church, I ask you guys two questions, or one question rolled into two, I guess, and I ask the new church member a question. Do you promise to love them and hold them accountable? I ask both of us that, right? The church and the candidate for membership. And that's what it's all about. Love one another. Hold one another accountable. I pray that we would not just be members of West Main Baptist Church, but that we would be covenant members. Covenant members. That we would take the promises we've made to one another seriously. And this morning, we have an opportunity to just sort of celebrate, renew, ratify again, whatever words you want to use there, for the promises. I guess to even be reminded, because maybe you're here this morning, you're a member of this church, and you're really not that sure what our church covenant is. This morning, we're going to reaffirm it. But I pray this above all for this congregation. May membership be biblical. And let me say, yes, it is biblical. But also, may it be meaningful at West Main Baptist Church for the good of the members and for the glory of God. That's my prayer for us. Just last week, was it last week? Yes, it was. It was just last week. I was traveling through Cave City, Kentucky, and there's a sign on this church building that says, "This is a church for people who don't like church." And I thought, that's the dumbest sign I've ever seen. I said, what they need is a sign that says, "This is a church for people who are serious about church." Because God has called us to do amazing things, and we can't come at it half-hearted. It takes a seriousness to make it in this life, to do what He's called us to do. And I pray that you would be serious about church.